Are you out of your minds? Are you all out of your mind? Your mind, your mind, your mind.
And to the C students, I say, you too can be president of the United States.
Kissing cousin, hey, there's nothing. I mean, I don't really think about this as a problem of marrying first cousin.
So they all go vegan and wages and picket lines. I don't know, they're not awfully disgusting in purgatory, are they?
I would not, could not, with a goat.
I think the problem with people like this is that they are so stupid that they have no idea how stupid they are.
Welcome to the Crab Diving Show with your hosts, Ryan Pfeiffer and Patrick Vile.
Happy hump day, everybody. It's Crab Diving Live, hurtling at ya from Los Angeles, California, USA, Koreatown, where the sun has finally broken through the June gloom that didn't realize it ain't June yet. We're going to be here for the next couple of hours. It's a couple minutes after 2 p.m. here on the Pacific Coast, a little bit after 5 on the Eastern Coast, if that's where you're listening to us. If it ain't that time, you're probably listening to us as either a rerun or you've downloaded us as a podcast, a wonderful treasure for your ear holes. You can get that at Stitcher, at iTunes, or at crabdiving.com. My name is Patrick Vile.
And my name's Ryan Pfeiffer. What up, America?
What up, America? Welcome. It's a hump day, middle of the week.
God, it's only the middle. The week seems so long already.
Right.
The man is kicking me in the sack.
Especially when you don't have a week.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It's just a bunch of days.
Right.
It's strung together.
Yeah, it's
with
it's
no respite.
A different concept. Wouldn't it be nice if we just had to put in a couple hours a day doing something you really enjoy? And
what are you?
Then be able to not have to do anything else.
Yeah, queer socialist from Europe or something.
Right. I remember saying that one time. I was like, God, wouldn't it be nice if we couldn't? I was probably like at Thanksgiving or something, and I was trying to start a fight. But I was like, God, would it be nice if it if nobody ever had to work? What?
Then what are we going to do with our time?
Heads exploding. Like, what do you mean? That's that weird, that kind of Puritan work ethic, I guess.
Idle hands is the devil's playground.
You'll suffer if you don't,
suffer. Which isn't fucking true. That's not true at all.
Right. I mean, you look at some of these tribal societies, the few that are left.
Fuck you!
And, you know, I mean, they work to live, not live to work. You know, that old ridiculous whatever saying or whatever.
But they're savages and worship Satan.
That's right.
What about that?
That's right. Oh, it always brings up my conversation with my sister-in-law one time who was I would assume still is very, very religious, born again
type. Catholic.
No, used to be, and then
like a Baptist.
That wasn't religious enough, so Pentecostal kind of non-denominational Christian, I think.
Yeah, it's torture.
And
her beliefs are torture.
And I remember being out one night running into her and my brother, who were out in the hood, and having a conversation with our friend Tony, who I was hanging with.
Yes, Tony,
who
frequent caller of a frequent qualler,
a giant atheist, and not afraid to express it. And the two of them got into it, but we had the argument of, okay, if. What about some Yanomamo in a tree lives a great life by all these Christian standards?
Yanomamo.
And, you know, one day as a grabber, he falls out of a tree, hits his head with the weird kind of mo from the Three Stooges haircut that they have. And and he's gone. Does he go to heaven? She said,
no.
Right. Oh, wow.
Fuck no.
You said it almost as fast as she did.
Absolutely not. Yanomamo can burn in hell.
And well, but I don't think she tossed him in hell. I think they have, he just stops. I think there's, you see, the Catholics don't have that one. We don't have a plan C.
Right.
Purgatory a little bit, but they've kind of de-emphasized
that's
that.
That's bullshit, purgatory.
Yeah, they kind of front, they don't talk about that one that much anymore.
Really? Why? Because it's weird?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it necessarily can be found like anywhere in the Bible, can it? Or
purgatory?
I'm sure there's some weird reference to it somewhere that some scholar in the year 713
open
decided
bullshitica 69.
Yeah, he decided it meant that it's like the snake wavers. They pull one passage and that's it. They base their entire religion on that one passage that says pick up the snakes.
But you know what?
Like
they're kind of dumb too. Well, I mean, that sort of helps.
I guess. Maybe not the one picking up the snake. Although that's a rough way to make money. I mean,
I think
snake oil salesman. But I mean, do you think there are snake wavers that are fleecing the public?
Yes.
Or do you think they really buy it? Because they're putting their lives in danger with those fucking snakes. Another one dropped
If they really buy it, then what's up with all the training that they do, like and all the practicing, right? It's sort of like an apprenticeship thing. Well, yeah, they're brought up into it. They're not all, they have to learn how to handle the snake first so it doesn't bite them. I mean, all they're doing is holding it in a certain way that it doesn't strike them, and they're just getting lucky. But there is skill to it.
I mean, of course, obviously there is. Not perfected, because
no.
They seem to die.
But I think if one of those redneck lunatics was handling a snake, I think he would do a better job at it than you or I would.
Well, yeah.
Because they practice it.
Well, maybe, because I'm going to grab it by the head where it can't bite me, and I'm not going to wave it around like some toy you get at the science center.
But then you would be a shitty snake waver and not very entertaining.
Well,
they'd be
right.
Like, fuck this, church. I'm going to the one down the street. That guy does it for reals.
Right.
So stupid. But my thing is like,
Are you suggesting that the parishioners are like
dumb.
People that go to NASCAR waiting for
dumb,
a crash?
Dumb, 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 dumb. Yes, I am absolutely suggesting that. People that live up in the mountains in the hillbillyville USA that don't have access to...
You don't think they're there for the spirit of the Lord. You think they're there, because they can't get honey boo-boo, that they're going to sit there and take a shot at the preacher.
I think they're
getting one in the neck from a cobra.
Right. I think they're being taken advantage of because they're poor and they don't have a lot of education. So they show up at these places and throw their ducats into the offertory or whatever.
You probably don't have cobras.
Oh, you don't think they have cobras? See, that's why...
There's no cobras in America, are there?
No. Oh, fuck no.
I know.
I'm an expert on all things that are scary, and no cobras here.
No cobras here.
It's so stupid, though. I mean, see, that's the whole thing with this whole snake thing that doesn't make any sense to me. If they believe that God is protecting them from getting bitten by a serpent, then why not handle a cobra? I bet they wouldn't, because they don't know how to handle the cobra. They know how to handle the rattlesnake or the copperhead or whatever the fuck they do.
But don't they believe that God would protect them and anoint them,
you see,
and keep them under his warm bosom?
I think they
regardless
kind of do. But I also think that they probably, people that have been around those fucking snakes their whole life and seen people bitten, they probably know what to do and what not to do. Don't hold an unfamiliar snake.
Yeah.
Don't hold another man's serpent.
Put that on the walls of the bathrooms.
You know what, man? I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm sitting here trying to explain to you why I think... Who knows why those people do
well,
that?
Yeah,
they're fucking
know.
Lunatics. They're not the brightest.
I mean, like rolling around and speaking in tongues and yelling
dumb.
And dancing. And like, that's not enough. You gotta go somewhere that somebody's waving a snake around. I just don't. I don't get it. That kind of stuff. Before we get to the headlines, we were talking about scary shit. You're always talking about how the fauna in the Australian continent.
Yeah.
The technical term is fuck your shit up.
Fauna fuck you up.
Well, I saw an article today. There's also the flora ain't great either.
Oh.
To go with the fauna, there is something called...
Okay, wait a second. Can we pretend that maybe I went to school in Georgia? And fauna is not the flower? What is fauna?
Flora is the plants, and fauna are, I think, the animals.
Oh, really?
Like when you say the flora and the fauna, you mean the plants and the animals.
Okay. Yeah. Well, no, yes, everything.
Right?
Yeah, everything in Australia pretty much sucks. You can't sit on anything. You can't relax. Snakes, sharks... Spiders, box, jellyfish, cassowaries, let's say snakes again, because fuck it, there's tons of them. Crocodiles, you know.
Add to that list the Jimpy Jimpy.
Oh, what is that? A tree that rapes you?
G-Y-M-P-I-E.
A Jimpy Jimpy.
Dash G-Y-M-P-I-E. I assume it's not pronounced Gimpy Gimpy. That might be funny.
Does it make you Gimpy Gimpy?
Yeah, well... also known as
what is this?
Dendrosnide moroides.
Dendro
moroides.
It's a bush. It's a big kind
it's
of bushy
bush.
Tree. Yeah,
in the nettle family, Urticaceae.
Right,
Urticaceae. what did Urtica say?
I don't know.
I don't know. Ask her. The green leafy bush has a heart-shaped foliage.
Okay.
It's found in rainforested areas in northeastern Australia.
Perfecto.
It's also in Indonesia.
Fuck you.
And in something called the Moluccas. I don't know what the Moluccas are.
Hey.
it's covered.
Yes.
With hollow hair-like stinging needles.
Yummy.
That contain...
Right.
A powerful neurotoxin.
Oh, God.
Causing... excruciating pain that at times and itching can be so painful it has been known to kill dogs, horses, and drive humans crazy.
Jesus.
With agony.
Oh my God. Jesus, God, if you're listening, 323-601 Libs, explain this little gem you left us. What's up with this shit?
The active compound in this shit
is
so persistent. I'm reading from treehugger.com.
Don't hug it.
You don't hug this one.
Oh, God.
That this shit, it says it can hang around for over a year if they don't get every tiny little stinging hair out of your skin. You'll still feel pain for up to a year from this toxin.
What is the fucking purpose of this bush? I don't even mean in the God sense or any bullshit like that. I mean, like, in the... ecosystem. What does it do?
Well, it apparently was getting eaten a lot and somehow evolved to the point where it was like, fuck you all.
Is that what's going to happen? All these plants that we're eating are slowly going to evolve and protect themselves? Like apples? Are apples going to turn into like hand grenades?
Those, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Even it says dry specimens preserved for decades can still retain their sting.
Oh, shit.
They say the first thing you'll feel is a really intense burning sensation.
Ooh. When you start yelling, oh, fucking shit, this hurts.
The first thing you'll feel is an intense burning sensation. And this grows over the next half hour, becoming more and more painful. This is for the... that's the music for the 50 people, Shades of Grey crowd.
Yeah, yeah, people are definitely into this. There's some fucked up people in L.A. are like, ugh, I'm going to rub this on my penis.
Oh, rewind it. Shortly after this, it says your joints will start aching and you might get swelling under your armpits.
My favorite.
Which can be almost as painful as the original sting.
So no.
Now your armpits hurt.
Oh, good to know.
You can't put your arms down.
Oh, wow. Now what? Now what do you do after you get stung by that? Go to the doctor?
In severe cases, it can lead to shock, even death. Stung horses have been known to die off within hours.
A horse?
Even jumping off cliffs to escape their suffering.
Oh, shit, man.
Oh, this can't be true. One man was reportedly said to have shot himself.
Because of this fucking bush?
To end his pain.
Right.
After having foolishly used the leaf as toilet paper.
No. Wow. What do we have applause for that?
That is. I hope that's an urban legend.
Good one, dude.
Man, that poor guy.
Ugh.
Even
he shot himself.
Oh my God, you could breathe in the floating hairs. causes sneezing, rashes, and nosebleeds. God, stay out of fucking the rainforests of Australia.
Stay out of Australia. Stay out. It's a horrible place.
I'm assuming it's not like growing wild in the middle of Melbourne.
Assume whatever the fuck you want, man. There's bad shit all over the place in Australia.
But there's cities. I think the cities are probably okay, right?
You know, no, the brown snakes get in there. And the cities, they come in urban areas when it's time to mate. You've ever seen a brown snake?
The brown snake. Why did they
from Australia? You know how big they are?
They go to the clubs and shit to get the lady snakes drunk?
Yes. Have you seen the size of these fucking snakes of which I speak? Like 8 feet
I'm
long.
Assuming they're large.
Huge.
Are they venomous?
Poisonous as fuck.
Venomous, yeah.
Dead. Wow. You're dead. Bam. Unless you've got any venom. Where do you get that? Who fucking knows?
Yeah.
I just use this bush as toilet paper. I'm going to kill
get
myself.
Get this. Speaking of evolution, though, there are some marsupial species, insects, and birds that actually eat this shit with no problem.
God, what? Shit. How did God do that?
So this plant is discriminatory.
Right. But we can't eat it. But a koala bear can.
One entomologist and ecologist said that the effect feels like being burnt with hot acid and electrocuted at the same time.
Is that what he really said?
Yeah.
In all seriousness?
This is a quote. Being burnt with hot acid and electrocuted. Marina Hurley. Entomologist and ecologist.
Wow, what a depressing job she has. No, rub the leaf on me again. I've almost got it.
The most, yeah.
No, it's acid,
Keep it off my asshole, though. The most effective treatment is an application of diluted hydrochloric acid to the exposed skin, diluted.
Oh.
And then you pull out this tiny little stingy nasty hairs with like a hair removal. So you get a Brazilian wherever you...
Good.
Wherever you got stung by these things.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard, man.
There you go. The Australian jimpy.
Burn them. Can we burn the plant? Can you just
What's wrong? Why can't it live? You want to destroy all the jimpies? Why can't it have its little hangout?
Why don't you
and the birds that eat it?
Why don't you go brush up against one? While you're at it, why don't you save the great white sharks?
There's not a lot of it growing in Koreatown.
It just takes one.
I got no problem with the jimpy. Personally.
Right.
So that's what's going on there.
God, we haven't even told people, how do you avoid this? Stay out of Australia, I guess. I mean, what does it look like? Did we say?
It's a big heart-shaped green leaf that don't wipe your body parts with.
Guys, be careful out there in the Australian rainforest, or any rainforest for that matter. Snakes.
For these lamestream media characters to get all wee-weed up about that.
From the Crab Diving News Studios, high atop the Crab Diving Tower, Los Angeles, California. Dateline, May 20th, 2015.
The year of our Lord.
Here in Koreatown. Jimpy-less Koreatown.
I'm sorry. I just played a tape of the guy right before he shot himself after he wiped his ass with a jimpy.
There were probably some expletives.
Oh, my God.
Argument for gun control. He might still be with us.
No!
If he could have gotten that asshole waxed, he might still be with us.
Disagree. I think he did that. I think from what you said, that's the right move.
Burning and shocking at the same time.
Just shoot yourself. Because how do you...
There might be people who are like, ooh, I want to get me some jimpy.
Yeah, idiots.
Rub it on my balls.
Put it on my tongue.
The headline over at the Commie Pinko Liberal Huffington Post.
Fuck you.
Says 19 down, 31 to go.
Gay marriage?
? Nebraska lawmakers. Nebraska.
Yeah.
This will be surprising.
Shithole. It is.
I don't know.
Oh, bullshit. Yeah, I mean,
not wanted there anymore. Yeah,
well, how many future vacations are you planning for the Buckeye Cornhole Fuckface State? What is it?
I think that's it.
Okay.
I think you got it. It's the Buckeye Cornhole Fuckface State.
Are you going to vacation there? No. It's a shithole.
Yeah, I think the statute of limitations is good. I think I can go back to Nebraska.
We're going to hang you.
The lawmakers voted 32 to 15 on a bill to replace the death penalty with life without possibility of parole.
Oh, okay.
The governor, Pete Ricketts. Not a great name.
Ricketts. That's the people that own the Cubs.
The Ricketts? Ricketts. Oh, I wonder I'll bet they're related.
Yeah. Rich white men.
He's vowed to veto the bill because apparently he likes killing people. Oh, he's a Republican.
We need to kill some more motherfuckers, all right?
But the legislature actually has enough votes to override his bullshit.
Damn.
And they think that'll get it done. They say the senators, it looks like, have made up their minds. They studied the issue and are ready to get it done. Push this through. If they override the veto, Nebraska will be the first state since Maryland eliminated the death penalty in 2013, bringing the number of death penalty states down to 31. How awful is that there's still 31 states.
But this decision will, no pun intended, kill a shitload of jobs associated with the killing biz.
Really?
Yeah, you saw Green Mile. Or what's that movie with Sean Penn where he said he...
Dead Man Walking.
Yeah. All those people, they walk down the hallway with that dude. Those are all jobs.
Well, maybe they can, you know, visit the prisoner or something.
But what about all the murders? You're going to see a spike in murders in Nebraska now.
Yeah, because it's been proven to be a deterrent.
But I feel like it is.
Not. So we'll see. We'll keep our eyes on what's going on over there. In Nebraska, we'll see. They've passed it. Let's see if that dickwad of a governor, who apparently is some sort of barbarian who likes killing people, wants to veto it.
Keep your eyes on this space.
He'll probably veto it to keep his little base, his lunatics, happy.
Yeah.
And then
they override it, right?
They'll override it, and he'll be like, well, I tried. I tried to kill people.
Jesus, conservatives, when everyone, including the voters... for something and then you're against it, it kind of makes you look like a dickhead.
That seems to be a lot of shit that's going on with them. I mean, gun control,
minimum wage,
gun control issues, minimum wage,
gay
marriage, everything that you poll people on, generally
legal weed.
I mean, if you don't go into, you know, some of the crazier social issues like baby killing and stuff, it's very much, especially economic issues, they all lean Democrat and populist. But they don't give a fuck because they're gerrymandered. You got fucking districts that look like a diarrhea splatter.
How quick do we see that in Nebraska, you can't kill a murderer, but you can kill an unborn child?
Oh, right.
How soon do we see that?
Oh, that's already out there.
God.
That's what the first thing they come back with. That's their straw man. Whoa, how could you be anti-death penalty and pro-abortion?
Because the death... not a bunch of cells. One is a bunch of cells, and the other one is, you know, I don't know, a person.
There's right.
A fucking difference, dumbass.
Exactly. Speaking of dumbass, let's dial the clocks back a few centuries, dumb it down. Set our IQs back to at least double digits only.
Fuck you.
And let's see what the Drudge Report says. Over on the Drudge Report.
What?
There's a picture of Rand Paul.
My favorite.
Senator from Kentucky.
Is he with or without the toupee?
He says that's his.
He lies.
He's like pulled on it on TV shit and says it's just... I think he cuts his own hair. I think he's one of those assholes.
Oh, God.
Who allegedly cuts his own
hair.
Get
someone else to cut your hair, dumbass.
Probably a Flobee or something.
Go to Supercuts. I go there. You can afford it.
Okay, this is where, you know, prepare yourselves. This is where we agree with Rand Paul.
Right. Kate, ready the studio.
Rand, stand against the Patriot Act, it says, is the headline leading to...
Oh, shit.
A story in the Washington Times that says Rand Paul's lonely NSA filibuster. Rand Paul is Senator Paul, I guess he's trying to, he announced he's going to attempt to filibuster the extension of the Patriot Act, saying that he's going to use all of his legislative powers to try to end that bullshit. He didn't say bullshit.
Doesn't he know if he can end it or not, or filibuster it not, since it's the rules?
Well, of course he knows. And it's theater. It's kabuki. But we agree with him. We agree with him.
Kabuki theater is like,
that's exactly what we're talking about.
Oh, we got to get a kabuki theater drop. There's one in an old There's one in an old crab diving podcast.
Oh, I remember that one
from the Wayback Machine.
He says on his official Twitter account, "It's time to end the NSA spying." He began his speech at 1:18 p.m.
Hoppa!
He's not technically holding up any legislation because they're actually debating a trade bill, but he said his move is a filibuster. He's calling it a filibuster nonetheless. It's one of these non-filibuster filibusters.
Hey, like, this is a filibuster. Fuck you, all right?
Like, what's his face had?
Right.
Or,
Dickhead McGee.
Yeah,
I would not, could not, with a goat.
Is he related to Celia Cruz, famous singer, crooner?
Ted Cruz?
Yes.
I mean, I can't say no.
Yeah. She's a Brazilian singer. Last name, Cruz. Oh, that's dumb.
Was Celia Cruz Brazilian?
Yes.
I would think not then. Maybe related, Cruz is...
Only related to Tom. Man.
Cruz is kind of Smith-ish.
Oh, yes.
Like, it's a pretty popular name.
All right.
Over there. So there you go. The headline over on the Drudge that Rand Paul is fake filibustering the NSA spying and sticking their noses in our starfish.
Yeah, we agree with him, but why doesn't he do something that can affect change? Will this filibuster do that, or is it just, you know, kabuki? Nothing.
Yeah, it's kind of kabuki, but... maybe it gets the word out there. You know, Bernie Sanders has been out there screaming for years about all the stuff we love, and basically it's kabuki because nobody listens to him. Even people, the Democrats, although Bernie Sanders is now that he's announced that he's running for president, you know, he's making the rounds on the television. All these, Sunday morning bullshit and press, beat the presses and crap like that. And he was on with...
Oh, God.
With Wolf.
What? Wolf Blitzer.
He was on with Wolf Blitzer.
The fuck is Bernie Sanders going to talk to Wolf Blitzer about?
And
Wolf Blitzer's a simpleton with a big beard.
And... God, it's just so... Here's a little bit of the interview.
Does Wolf Blitzer's face, just his face, look like an owl? Look like a full owl to me. It looks like there should be talons coming out of his chin.
Wow, yeah.
He's an owl face.
The front view especially is quite quite owl-like.
Looks like a fucking barn owl.
Like something from Harry Potter.
Yes.
So here is, he plays a clip of Hillary Clinton. And God, right away, you can hear Wolf trying to get Bernie to shit on Hillary Clinton. And Bernie has already said, look, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this kind of negative campaigning. I don't think that's what we should do. And he's not going to do it. And you can hear Wolf throughout this whole fucking interview, where he's like, well, what do you think about Hillary Clinton? When she says this, what do you think? What do you think? here's a little bit of CNN bullshit. It's not quite Don Lemon level bullshit.
Oh, God, no.
Which is quite spectacular.
It's just a bunch of idiots over at CNN. I mean, you know.
But it's also some great messages from Bernie Sanders.
Great.
That and more with the Vermont Senator, Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders. Senator, thanks very much for coming in. What's your reaction when you hear say that about income inequality, which is a huge issue for you?
Well, it's an issue I've been talking about for many, many years. And I think what we need to do is be very specific about what we are going to do about it. Today, Wolf, 99% of all new income is going to the top 1%. Top 0.1%.
You include her in that top 10%?
You include her in that 1%?
He's talking about an issue. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, why?
Right. And he's talking about generalities. And Wolf is trying to, you know, I don't know. None of these people are the dudes next door. None of them. Right? I mean, it's not the butcher who 6 months ago was slicing meat down on Main Street, and now all of a sudden he decides to go to Washington. That doesn't exist anymore, thanks to our cunty system. Yeah. But so by them trying to smear Hillary with this, because she's trying to
be rich.
This, well, and because she's trying to be this to say that she's a woman of the people, that she's going to fight for populist issues.
And Wolf Blitzer wants Bernie Sanders to say, oh, yeah, she's a one percenter. She's a big fat cat. I hate her. She can suck a dick, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But poor Bernie just wants to get his
when Bernie's probably got some dough
platform out, you know.
Wolf, 99% of all new income is going to the top 1%.
Meanwhile, the accent might be a little rough to
Wolf. 99%.
Wolf. Wolf.
Need to do is be very specific about what we are going to do about it. Today, Wolf, 99% of all new income is going to the top 1%. Top 0.1%.
You include her in that top 10%? 0.1%? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know exactly. They may be, but I don't know if they're that high. But
is that a problem, though? Is that a problem that she and her husband made $30 million for the past 16 months or so, speaking and writing a book?
Well,
it's not an issue, dumbass.
Right, and as long as she, I don't give a flying fuck how much money she's making if she's turning around and enacting policies that are going to help common people. I don't care.
Right.
Make your money, boo. Go ahead.
All these people are rich.
Speak away.
We all know most people running for president are rich and white as fuck.
Right, right.
It's not a mystery.
It's a problem, but the more serious problem is...
But listen to just the vapid, moronic questioning.
He is just trying to steer...
that he has to deal with. Wolf's agenda is...
Well, how are we going to get you to shit on Hillary? How are you going to shit on Hillary?
She might
here?
Be into that.
Is that a problem, though? Is that a problem that she and her husband made $30 million for the past 16 months or so, speaking and writing a book?
Well, it's a problem, but the more serious problem is, what do we do about the grotesque level of income and wealth inequality in America today? So what do you have to do? What we need to do is create millions of decent-paying jobs by rebuilding our crumbling infrastructure. What you need to do is say to the wealthiest people and largest corporations, you know what? You're going to have to start paying your fair share of taxes. You can't stash your money in the Cayman Islands. What you're going to have to do, if you really want to grow the middle class, is say that everybody in this country, regardless of their income, if they have the ability, they're going to get a college education. And today, I just introduced legislation that would make public colleges and universities tuition free.
Where's the money?
He did. That's
awesome.
Legislation that all public colleges should be tuition free. And of course, the first thing out of Wolf's mouth.
Where's the money?
How are you going to pay for that? Did you thank God?
Introduce legislation that would make public colleges and universities tuition free.
Where's the money going to come from?
A tax on Wall Street speculation. And that's exactly where it should
talk about that. What does that mean, a tax on Wall Street speculation?
What it means is right now you have people who are becoming phenomenally wealthy by speculating in derivatives and every other type of esoteric instrument that they can. People are getting very rich on Wall Street. What we're going to impose is what exists in dozens of countries around the world, a very modest tax on the transference of large amounts of stock.
Bam.
Makes complete sense to me. How is that hurting anyone?
I understood that. And I didn't study economics in college. I studied musical theater. 5, 6, 7, 8.
This is that, I think they call parts of it, or some people call it the Robin Hood tax, too, which I think is ridiculous because he ain't stealing.
No.
but it's taking from the rich to give to the poor. And it's actually putting them back near levels where they should be. It's not even because...
But you're going to kill their lifestyle.
These ridiculous... entities that they're gambling. It's just Vegas. That's all it is. It's Vegas. Derivatives are Vegas. Speculation is Vegas. And somehow they've finagled their way to get the American people to be their sugar daddy. And, well, we fuck it up, like with the housing crisis, who'll bail us out, Daddy? And then we need more money so we can sit down and start gambling again. And that's exactly what's happening.
Right.
And that's so now Bernie is saying, well, you know, maybe we're not going to get rid of this shit, but let's tax this. Let's tax these transactions.
Yeah, I mean,
a small tax, even a tiny little tax. I think he says what number it is here a year. I think it's 300 billion with a B a year.
That's the money that would be produced?
Yeah, a ridiculous amount.
Oh, my God.
It would more than pay for all this college tuition. It would more than pay for SNAP benefits.
God, I mean, tuition should be free. We should want people to get a higher education and not have to go into fucking debt over it.
But Mitt Romney might have 0.7% less in that Cayman Islands account, Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
You taker, you evil thief, you.
A very modest tax on the transference of large amounts of stock.
What does that mean, a very modest? Is that going to pay for tuition-free education?
More than that. This is a very effective and progressive way to raise money. The estimate is it could bring in as much as $300 billion a year.
Do you think Republicans are going to go along with this?
No, of course they're not.
Well, then if they're not going to go along with it, it's not going to become the law.
No.
Right?
Oh, so if they're not going to come along, why?
So
even,
what are we?
Not, why should we talk about it?
We shouldn't do fucking anything about it? We should just sit there?
Did you ask the fuckwads down in Congress why they have been trying to repeal Obamacare 89,000 times?
Hello, fuckwads.
Yeah, when they know it's not going to fly.
Right. Yeah, Republicans are the king of doing shit that doesn't make any sense or have an outcome.
And maybe Bernie gets a debate going. Maybe he gets people talking. Fucker.
Yeah.
Way to raise money. The estimate is it could bring in as much as $300 billion a year.
Do you think Republicans are going to go along with this?
No, of course they're not.
Well, then if they're not going to go along with it, it's not going to become the law.
No. Right? Well, I don't think it's going to be passed tomorrow. But I think what we have to do is the American people will go along with it. The American people think it's absurd that our young people are leaving school deeply, deeply in debt and young people can't afford to go to college.
Is Hillary Clinton committed to this cause, as are you?
Wolf, you have to ask Hillary.
Well, what do you think?
I don't work for her. I don't know.
Again,
I don't work for her.
Well, and is Hillary? Hillary's not asking questions, so they're beating up on Bernie.
What do you learn? What do you think
Hillary would say if we asked her?
What's an important life lesson everybody should learn? Do you. You do you. Just do you.
Right.
You do you. I don't know about Hillary.
I don't know. I don't work for her.
I don't work for her. I don't know what's going on over there.
I don't know.
College.
Is Hillary Clinton committed to this cause, as are you?
Wolf, you have to ask Hillary.
Well, what do you think?
I don't work for her. I don't know.
But you know her. You know her position.
Well, I mean, she has to be. I just introduced legislation. I don't know where Hillary Clinton is coming on this. I believe we got to join Germany, Scandinavia, many other countries around the world and say, if you have the ability, regardless of your income, you're going to be able to go to college tuition free.
So you want to raise taxes?
On the very wealthiest people in this country? Absolutely.
Oh, wow. So you want to raise taxes
on the wealthiest people? Absolutely.
You know why he's smart there? Because he gives his answer up front, and then he says absolutely at the end. That way it can't be edited out. If he just says absolutely, they'll just cut it
play
it over and over again.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders wants to cut taxes or raise taxes.
Absolutely. So that's a little bit of Bernie. I thought it was good. It's good news from Bernie Sanders. And I read another article that he's like winning on social media by far.
Wow.
Like everybody loves Bernie on social media. And they were saying that the millennials seem to be loving the fuck out of Bernie.
Yeah. You know, man, people, progressives aren't going to want us to see us to go more centrist after Obama. We want to go farther left, right?
Well, yeah.
It's progress.
Well, we have to.
Yeah,
we have to.
We have to run screaming from the right because they're lunatics.
We gotta, you know, start poking holes in those money trains that are just going upward, and stop that trickle down bullshit. Because just ridiculousness.
Right, poking holes.
That's
the name. That's going to be the name of my biography. Poking holes.
Poking holes.
Maybe not. That sounds real horrible.
Now, speaking of Hillary.
Yay.
Rodham Clinton.
What is she doing? What's she up to?
Not talking still. Not answering questions.
Yeah, okay.
Now they're 28
days. She's only asked 8 questions or something.
She's smart,
like that.
Man. Don't say anything.
All these journalists whining. I saw something. I think it was social media. There was one journalist who wrote a piece saying, "Look, I've been trying to get the Koch brothers or somebody to answer me back for years. Yet somehow I write."
You write.
She writes her stuff.
Oh, right.
Without talking to them. She's like, it's a journalist's job. You can't sit and whine that Hillary's not talking to us.
Yeah, yeah.
Make her talk.
Absolutely.
And the article was talking about how...
Chase her down.
Or you go to the people. You do polls and you say, okay, what are the questions you want to ask Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you force her hand. You say, look, hey, we asked 27,000 people. They want to know... this, this, and this. Then maybe she'll start talking, you know. But she, today, you know, some of these ninnies over on the right have not been doing real well with the whole question of Iraq.
I thought you were going to say just questions. They're not doing well with questions.
Well, right. I mean, they do have to speak sometimes to people that aren't insane.
I'm so glad we're done with the Democrats and we're talking about the Republicans again, because God, they're the best.
Well, we're not done. We have Hillary here.
Oh, okay.
Who is who has the right answer? I mean, this is a lot of the questions. Even this O'Malley guy is now running around saying,
"Are you pulling your support for Bernie and going with Hillary now?"
Absolutely not. Okay, but I feel less frightened by. Unless she's completely bullshitting, I feel less frightened, you know, about her being a non-progressive Democrat.
Well, you know, it's the primary, so we're going to hear all the good things.
Right.
We're going to hear what we want to hear from our party. We start hearing the shitty things closer to the election when they have to go to the, you know, to the center.
But here she talks about, she answers the question of, you know, the Iraq war.
Yes.
Look, I know that there have been a lot of questions about Iraq posed to candidates over the last weeks. I've made it very clear that I made a mistake, plain and simple. And I have written about it in my book. I've talked about it in the past. And, you know, what we now see is a very different and very dangerous situation. The United States is doing what it can, but ultimately this has to be a struggle that the Iraqi government and the Iraqi people are determined to win for themselves. And we can provide support, but they're going to have to do it.
Wow.
There you go.
Jeez.
She said, look, I said it was a mistake. Not knowing, well, I don't know, knowing what we know now. What are all with the blah, 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 blah. Lindsey Graham saying, did you see, he said, I don't blame President Bush for Iraq. I blame it solely on President Obama.
Now, I want him to explain that. How do you figure?
That Bush had things fine. They're under that delusion that everything was wonderful and fluffy bunnies and hand jobs over in Iraq.
Right.
When Bush left office.
But as soon as that black dude put his hand on the Bible, everything went all fucked up.
Absolutely.
Hmm.
That's when, you know, they pulled out, even though Bush signed the agreement to pull out, by the way. And the Obama administration would have been, first of all, the Iraqis wanted us the fuck out. Let's not forget that. And then they wouldn't sign that limited immunity thing where, you know, I mean, they were wanting to, I guess the deal is when we wanted our soldiers to be immune from local prosecution of ridiculous crimes and, you know, yelling at a cow. I don't know, what might be a local ridiculous crime. And they wouldn't go for that. So
we left.
One of the other reasons. Yeah. Mostly they didn't fucking want us there.
Listen.
And shit fell apart.
Yeah. Let me explain what happened to the Iraq war. We bombed the living shit out of them, mm-hmm. ripped up their country, and then we left, okay?
Yes.
Boom.
Follow us on the Twitter, ladies and gentlemen, at Crab Diving. Don't forget, you can call us 323-601-5427. 323-601... libs.
And we have been retweeted by Spider-Man.
We're also hashtag LieCrib.
LibCrib. Oh, did I fuck something up? Can you fix it?
On the Twitter. I don't think you can edit tweets, can you?
Really? No. I fucked that up.
I was going to retweet.
LieCrib. LibCrib.
So join us, ladies and gentlemen. Here we are here 5 days a week from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific.
Yes.
For your ear holes and all kinds of stuff. Last night, brand new sparkling Hollywood Hick for you, which will be rerun tonight on the sevens.
I'm so sorry. I said Spider-Man had retweeted us, and I just looked over at his profile. And the guy, his name is Spider-Man on Twitter, but the actual handle is at suck my spider dick.
Oh, there you go.
Look at this guy's face. That's Spider-Man. Oh. See, I don't know. How does he get?
That might not be him. That might be
at suck my spider dick. How do you get in that outfit?
That might not be his actual picture.
There's a lot of you.
The
suck my spider dick. How do you come up with that handle? Like, how do you think about it? How's like, what am I going to call myself?
Yeah, at suck my spider dick. I guess there's enough letters for that, huh?
Yep.
Wow.
I mean, he did it. Fighter for justice and dog kin for life. What a weirdo. Jeez.
I've got Bill O'Reilly. Huh. Have you seen what's been going on with him?
No.
Come on.
Is he transitioning?
Come on. There, according to a report in Gawker,
fuck you,
that was published.
Yes,
they say they have obtained partial transcripts from his custody trial.
Uh oh.
And
is he a father?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh god, damn it! What in the fuck must that be like?
In what they're calling a vicious dispute with his ex-wife.
Jesus Christ.
Of course. I mean, can anything Bill O'Reilly is involved with be non-vicious?
I just can't imagine Bill O'Reilly arguing with his wife. I mean, it's...
well, listen.
He must be such an asshole.
It says documents, which allegedly record testimony given last year, confirm that the couple's... the ex-couple's teenage daughter,
yes,
told a court-appointed forensic examiner that she had witnessed O'Reilly, quote, choking her mom,
ooh,
as he dragged her down some stairs by the neck.
Maybe he was carrying her. That's how kittens carry their young. They grab them by the neck.
That's how Manticore carried Roy offstage. Siegfried and Roy.
Hey, he pulled a Manticore on his mom-in-law's. His mother-in-law he did this to?
His wife.
Oh, his wife.
The daughter testified
that
she saw him choking mom down the stairs.
Shit.
It says the same transcripts also reveal that O'Reilly told his daughter that her mother is, quote, an adulterer.
Oh god, he's just a horrible person, man. Have you ever heard a story about Bill O'Reilly and you're like, oh, what a cool guy?
Oh no.
No.
No. What a great guy.
He's a big fucking liar.
Everybody hates him. When all those stories of him lying were coming out, were being unearthed recently.
Yeah.
What was it? The colleagues, ex-colleagues couldn't line up fast enough shit on him.
Coming out of the woodwork. I hate him too.
Oh, yeah.
We all hate him.
He lied.
Here's
I know he lied.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody's got a Bill O'Reilly. He's a dick to everybody.
Right.
What do you think that amazing clip of that thing from Inside Edition came out? Remember that?
We'll do it now. We'll do it now.
Give me the fucking thing.
Yeah, look up O'Reilly Meltdown or something like
Bill
that.
Bill O'Reilly Meltdown on Inside Edition. He's just an asshole. And a charmed life at that. A charmed fucking life. He works on camera, dude.
He was some shitty local reporter, right? Who just, yeah. I don't know, kind of assholed his way into into this job.
Nice.
He's not a good journalist, even.
Oh, come on.
Well, he lies, obviously.
Just because a lot of his facts aren't necessarily accurate.
Right.
And his follow-up questions are always... Come on!
He also
What a dick.
They say he struggles to control his rage around his family.
Ooh. He sounds like a real peach.
It says O'Reilly, who famously settled a lurid sexual harassment claim.
Oh, lurid.
From one of his young female producers. Oh, I remember that one. That was one of it. Those where he was like, it's a lie. It's a lie. I'm going to come after her with everything I can. She was like, I have tapes. He was like, I'll settle.
Shit. What did he do? We don't know. It was like sealed.
I don't remember. Because
it's sexual harassment where it's like, where you know, it's sexism. You know, you're not letting this person, you know, you're promoting them because they're female or male or whatever. There's also the sexual harassment where you're like, hey, I'm going to put my penis on your computer monitor. I wonder which.
He was sued for, and his program were sued for $60 million by a former producer who claimed she was an employee at Fox. Lawsuit documents show O'Reilly's rabid sexual harassment began in 2002, lasted for 2 years. Let's see. Oh, here's a little clip from it. From page section 35 of the original document.
The year of our Lord.
After words during the course of their dinner in early May 2002, defendant Bill O'Reilly's demeanor abruptly changed. O'Reilly's eyes became glazed and bizarrely strayed in opposite directions.
They were cross-eyed?
He turns into a lizard. Suddenly, without provocation or warning, defendant Bill O'Reilly said to plaintiff Andrea Macris, quote, and just use your vibrator to blow off steam. When the plaintiff reddened, Bill O'Reilly asked lewdly, what? You've got a vibrator, don't you? Every girl does.
Oh.
This is his producer.
He said this to his producer.
When the plaintiff responded indignantly, no, and no, they don't. Does your wife? He replied, yes, in fact, she does. She'd kill me if she knew I was telling you.
This conversation cost him $60 million. His production company, his business, or whatever.
Another time, he told another woman to purchase a vibrator, and that he taught the woman how to masturbate while telling her sexual stories over the telephone.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I turned her the fuck on.
What a pig, man. Is that his move? If he's having an argument, why don't you get a vibrator?
He boasted to her that the woman had her first orgasm via masturbation as he spoke to her on the telephone.
Gross.
Yeah. Talk to me, Billy.
That's science fiction. This is not true.
That did not happen.
Not happen. But
no, that did not
it is
happen.
Pretty fucking hilarious that he was sued for $60 million. Because of he could have avoided. Just don't say any of this horrible shit, dipshit. You know what?
He said he told her he received a massage in a cabana in Bali, and that, quote, the little short brown woman asked to see his penis and was amazed. How can anybody sit and listen to this?
He said, you know, there's a woman in Bali, a short little brown woman. She saw my penis, was like, oh, my God, look at that.
A little brown broad. I flipped over and my hog rolled out.
I showed her my big white Irish cock.
Right.
God, he is a vomit. He really is. It's just
without solicitation or invite, he once regaled her and her friend with stories concerning the loss of his virginity to a girl in a car at JFK.
Who cares how you lost your virginity, you old gross white fuckstick.
How two, quote, really wild Scandinavian airline stewardesses he had gotten together with, and a girl at a sex show in Thailand who had shown him things in a back room that blew my mind.
We're out of ping pong balls back here, guys.
You can so hear him say this, too. Oh, yeah. Two really wild Scandinavian stewardesses I got with, and a girl at a sex show in Thailand who showed me things in the back room. Blew my fucking mind.
When's he being a journalist and writing his fucking columns?
These are to his producers,
shit.
By the way. These are people that he works with. This isn't hanging out with the buds.
Hey,
this
why don't
work?
Why don't you go use a vibrator? That's his go-to.
He kept trying to convince her to have phone sex with him, allegedly.
Gross. Do you want to talk? You want to say sexy things to me on the phone? Gross.
He told her to buy a vibrator and name it.
No.
He said he had one shaped like a cock with a little battery in it that a woman had given him.
Oh, that's nice.
It became apparent that defendant was masturbating as he spoke. After he climaxed, defendant O'Reilly said to plaintiff, I appreciate the fun call. You can have fun tonight. I'll appreciate it. I mean it.
Wow. He's a man of many, many words.
He's quite a lethargy.
What a romancer. Yeah.
Thanks. Woo-hoo. Thanks for that. I needed it.
God, this goes on and on. So,
Don't get on the phone with him. I mean, he's
the
probably,
Bill O'Reilly sexual harassment case. But I guess the story was that he, you know, fought this tooth and nail, and then she was like, oh, yeah, well, I got either she had some of the text messages or she had some tape or she had something.
He had something he didn't want to explain away.
Yeah, yeah. Then it's time to settle.
$60 million fucking dollars.
Well, that's what she sued for. I don't know what the settlement.
Well, shit.
I think they sealed the results.
I mean, what
settlement.
Do you, so you don't think it was that full amount, but it had to be, you know, in that neighborhood, I imagine. It's a lot of fucking money. I mean, if nothing happened, why would you pay that?
Right.
I mean,
it just says, he says he called it a brutal ordeal.
What? Her having to listen to him on the phone while he jacks off. I agree. That is brutal.
Well, he turned around and sued her for extortion. You know, that's a Bill O'Reilly.
I'm going to sue you.
I'm going to sue you for extortion.
And did he win?
He dropped that.
Oh, well, that's weird.
Nobody knows, but the deal likely involves millions of dollars to her since the two sides were discussing at one point an offer of well over $2 million when negotiations broke down. So they probably, you know, it's probably around that, more than $2 million, but not 60.
God, that's a lot of money, though. $2 million is a lot of money.
Both parties have agreed to keep the details confidential. So
okay. Well, congratulations, Bill. Sounds like a bore. I mean, what does he do when he's not on TV? He's running around handing out vibrators.
And then without one hint of irony, Bill O'Reilly said, please don't believe everything you hear and read. We don't, Bill.
Okay.
Done.
Right.
We got you. Don't worry about that. So the latest is that the shit with the daughter that allegedly this transcript has come out.
He tried to kill his wife.
That there was an incident where she saw him choking her and had his hands around her neck and he dragged her down some stairs.
That's just how Papa Bear carries people.
Right.
By their necks.
It's love.
Squeezing their necks as all the oxygen leaves their head. Wow. How terrifying, too. That guy's big. Like, he's a gigantic person. You know, he's tall.
He not only did he brag about attending a sex show in Thailand for this lawsuit,
yeah, yeah.
He also promised to fondle her vagina using a falafel thing.
Okay, what would that be? What is that?
Know.
A falafel thing.
I don't know.
Ah, right, give me my... I can't find my falafel
thing. I got this falafel thing. It'll make you scream. Come on.
Shit, this guy's vibrators, falafel things. He's like a tool dude, right? He's got all kinds of gadget and gizmos that go in your hoo-ha.
Yeah, yeah.
He's fine.
He's quite the ladies' man, it sounds like.
Well, geez, he's going to make you climax with just a phone call.
Yeah.
His voice will do that to you.
Right.
Amazing.
Come on. So that's the news over there. Bill is, of course, denying.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, he denies everything.
Right. And then he gets caught, and then he'll deny again. He'll just go away. There's... hopefully he'll go away because that. Did you see that we had on our Facebook about that the Fox audience is literally dying off? Like they're literally dying off.
Yeah.
In percentages that are measurable. The demographic that watches Fox News is so fucking old that they can watch the needle jump as the percentages go down.
You don't think Fox has that thing where you can have their broadcast played in your coffin for all of eternity?
Oh,
well, you can get that thing where they play music in your coffin forever.
Allegedly, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's a solar thing up on your headstone, right?
Yes.
That's how it goes.
Right. And allegedly. You go there and you wind it up.
Right.
Or you can just drop a quarter.
Right. Choose a song for your loved one.
I want to have an escape hatch in case something happens and I wake up.
Whatever.
From my dirt nap.
We've got a follow-up to...
Crab diving follow-up.
This Waco gun battle.
Good God. I saw that thing you put on Facebook.com/crab diving with all the pictures of these lunatics.
It's crazy when you listen to, you know, now they're pulling out all the bike gang experts on all the TV shows
The
news shows. And some of these guys have some interesting books where they were cops who went undercover and shit into these bike gangs. And like I think we said on Facebook, who needs Sons of Anarchy? Because goddamn, some of the shit that these people are involved in, it's Sons of Anarchy.
Right.
it's better than fiction. But yesterday, you know, we were talking about this Twin Peaks restaurant.
Yes.
Do you know what they are? You said you thought they were a chain of some sort.
A chain based on the fucking television show or the movie.
No, I don't believe so. I believe it's Twin Peaks based on titties.
Oh, is it?
Because
it's a bikini bar.
They're breast-a-rants. They're breast-a-rants.
Is that the name of it?
That's what they're calling them. Breast-a-rants, like Hooters. This is from yesterday from Think Progress. Did a story.
A breast-a-rant.
That it's fucking amazing.
Is this 2015?
They found a memo.
Welcome to 1950.
It's a marketing meeting memo or some kind of corporate bullshit memo.
Oh yes.
From the Twin Peaks franchise.
The TPS report.
And I guess these restaurants are doing great. It says restaurants are enjoying booming businesses even as the rest of the restaurant industry is struggling.
Yes.
Case in point is Twin Peaks, a Texas-based chain founded in 2005 to provide an even racier alternative to Hooters.
So it's just smaller bikini tops at the restaurant.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, are you looking at pictures?
Yes. Of one of the customers and three waitresses that we'll put these up on, you know. Everywhere.
It's just like
Daisy Dukes, tiny Daisy Dukes.
But that's just like Hooters.
It is kind of.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know why they say they're racier, but I don't know, maybe they encourage, you know, hand job or something. The
we encourage hand jobs here.
So there was it says, quote,
yeah.
Men are simple creatures, so you don't have to get too crazy to get them in the door, the director of marketing wrote.
The director of marketing at the restaurant.
Yep. Kristen,
yes.
Colby wrote. She said that beer, sports, and beautiful women are all it takes.
Right.
They think Progress here apparently was doing some hard-hitting journalism, and they got a hold of an employee who ratted out some internal marketing memo.
Oh shit!
From this organization. According to the document, it says creating contagious brands.
Oh God!
This gross. Is some or some. It sounds like it's some.
They lifted all this shit from a shitty blog.
Oh, it's awful. It's some marketing consultant firm. I'm sure they charge a ridiculous amount of money for this bullshit.
Make your brand contagious, like herpes.
Twin Peaks contagious brand strategy, brand vision, our highest calling.
Dude, you have girls running around with their titties out. That's your marketing.
Their highest calling is daring to create an adventure guys can't live without.
That's funny.
The brand promise, what they must deliver every day.
God.
To adventurous, sports-minded, work hard, play hard, guys.
Get out those yah-yahs.
Who deserve better food, colder beer, and love to have their ego stroked by beautiful girls.
Oh, my God. That's a memo to...
This is their... This is... Well, though, this was delivered to probably management.
Right.
And marketing people. This
guys,
was some outside consultant firm who was like, here's how we make your titty brand contagious, guys.
There's going to be some old, fat, ugly white dudes coming through that door, and you are going to have to stroke their egos and sell them jalapeno poppers. What a just gross, man.
Twin Peaks is the ultimate sports lodge that feeds their ego with the attention they crave. The brand personality, it says, our guests love us because we are...
Yes.
A rugged man lodge. Irreverently witty.
Oh, okay. They got a bunch of satirists there.
Apparently maybe you have to pass some sort of a wit.
Do they have a comedy night?
They're playfully attentive.
Oh, okay.
Energetic. Arrogantly better.
What?
They're arrogantly better.
Who the fuck wrote this?
I think they're like, we're better than Hooters. Fuck those skanks over there.
We're arrogantly better. That's horrible. Would you ever write that?
They're priding themselves
on it.
This is that brotastic bullshit. That's the core of brotastic fuckwatery, is we're arrogantly better than everything.
God, it's just so gross, man. Our fucking culture.
Then it says, raving fan identity, what our customers would love to say about themselves. Wait till you hear that.
Okay.
I am the man. I believe in freedom, bacon, working hard, and playing harder.
Why do you want to work hard? That's the thing we were talking about earlier.
It's because stupid. You're American and you're a sissy Muslim if you don't.
Yeah. Sissy Muslim.
I like the attention from beautiful girls and being recognized in front of the guys.
Oh, yes.
I got game. Can you imagine the meetings that some asshole marketing majors, no offense to the marketing majors out there. They're not all assholes.
A little offense.
But just them sitting around to come up with this, with these. I'm the man. What do you think? What do you think the customers want to say about themselves? Ugh. They had meetings about this.
God.
I'm the man. I believe in freedom, bacon, working hard,
bacon,
playing harder.
What? You know what?
Well, they're witty. Remember, irreverently witty. Don't forget.
It's a restaurant where people wear tube tops, serve food, and they laugh.
Exactly. And
when these idiots make jokes.
Right. And flirt with the dummies.
You're funny.
It works.
Yeah. Don't shoot me.
And it works.
So what happens to...
I've been inebriated in a Hooters with a credit card.
Oh, yeah.
And had a really good waitress have been like, I don't know, I want to buy more from her.
I want to get more poppers.
Right?
More wings. Yes, absolutely. I want some fucking potato wedges.
Absolutely.
So what happens...
There's more.
Okay.
I deserve to drink cold beer and catch the game without being asked what I'm thinking.
Oh, shit. I get to carry my wife up the stairs by her fucking neck.
That's right. Now get me a beer, pretty please.
Oh my God, man.
How? It's disgusting.
It's crazy.
I deserve to drink cold beer and catch the game.
I'm the man.
Right.
Oh, I want boobs and bacon.
So this is what, this is where these bikers were hanging out.
Yeah, shit.
This is what got shot up. It is all bloody.
Now what? Now what are they going to do? What's the marketing department going to do to make people forget about the massacre that happened at this titty bar?
The CEO of Twin Peaks, which now the name has a whole new meaning.
I honestly thought, and I'm so dumb, I thought it was a theme restaurant
based
off the David fucking Lynch movie.
I think it may not be.
How the fuck can they call this Twin Peaks with that movie?
There's probably a town called Twin Peaks. It's probably not a copywritten brand, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, Twin Peaks, it's a titty bar.
The
Twin
CEO,
Peaks, God.
The CEO, Randy DeWitt, refers to his female employees
as
weapons of mass distraction.
Oh, shit.
How funny he is.
God, he's a card. What a cut up.
The waitresses that are employed there are given discounts at gyms, nail salons, and tanning salons, as well as a diet menu to help them avoid gaining any weight. Is this 2015? I'm just checking.
Why would anyone write that down? Because it's going to...
Proud of this shit. Arrogantly better, man. Arrogantly better.
Bro? Bro, we sent all our girls out to get their nails did, bro.
Some of the locations hold lingerie weeks.
Oh, perfecto.
During which the waitresses wear lacy undies and lingerie.
There's some kind of similar chain in L.A., the surrounding areas. I did a show out in shitty Valencia at something called a Tilted Kilt.
Oh, I remember that. That's another one.
It's one of these.
That's a restaurant.
It surely is. And
apparently they're doing well. Should we open Krabby Boobies?
No. It's, you know what it is? It's the clientele.
You can do comedy.
Uh-huh. I don't want to do
comedy. Do you want to do a comedy at a titty bar?
Believe it or not, it's not that fun to do comedy at one of these restaurants.
Did you ever do the stripper bar thing?
No. I never got it.
I think I've...
This guy, a friend of mine, a comic, called me one day and he was like, listen, I know it's last minute. Do you want to go do comedy at a titty bar? And you know, the day he called, and it was on Martin Luther King Day, he called me. It's very strange. I mean, just,
I guess.
To me, that's a fun little detail.
Right. Drop out because of some... Did he have to go give a speech or something?
I don't know. I don't know why the gig came up last minute, but all I know is somebody booked a comedy show on Martin Luther King Day at the strip club. Right. I think that's, I mean, you know, whatever. I think it's odd.
So I really want to know how much money this consulting firm made.
A lot.
Off of this. Brand Catalyst Partners.
Brand Catalyst. What a bunch of shitheads. You know they went to fancy college.
Oh, I think they're from Florida. I can't read the scan of this. Christ. Winter Garden, Florida? Yeah,
Winter Garden. That's in Florida,
I
sure.
I think it's Winter Garden, Florida. So not only, maybe, I don't know where Twin Peaks is based out of. I wonder if they're based out of Florida. But is this...
Twin Peaks.
They might have even brought in an outside consulting firm. Who comes up with, the man. I believe in freedom, bacon, working hard
and shitting,
playing harder,
right?
And then having a heart attack,
yeah, and dying really fucking young,
then you getting shot when a bunch of bikers come in.
I mean, way to ruin a Twin Peaks establishment, huh? What, how do they account for this? They've managed to attract the worst clientele ever, people that drive around on motorcycles without helmets, shooting guns off willy fucking nilly.
The top comment on the Think Progress story says, so their target demographic basically is simple-minded, right-wing, conservative, misogynist, male chauvinist.
No, it's criminals with guns that shoot people.
Well, that one, yeah. That one, absolutely. And this other guy says, what side says right-wing? There are a lot of simple-minded, misogynistic, male chauvinists.
That are liberals?
That are liberals, too.
No, there's not. There's not a lot of that. Where? Show me.
Show me the liberals.
Show me the money. Because I can show you some right-wing nut jobs that are sexist, lunatic assholes. Easy. That's not hard. They're all running for president.
This guy says maybe lesbians like it there, too.
Maybe. Good point, stupid.
Maybe lesbians like it there, too.
Way to chime in. It's like the McLaughlin group.
I'm commenting. I'm famous.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to read my comment. That's the story there. That's a follow-up to the gun story when we were trying to figure out what Twin Peaks is. And fortunately, Think Progress stepped in and provided us with the answers.
Twin Peaks.
It's a restaurant.
Guys, did they coin the term restaurant?
No, I don't think so. I think it started after Hooters.
Oh, really?
Right? Or when
is that the etymology?
Probably. Might be earlier, but you know, I think the term is popular now because more of these peaks are popping up.
Computer, etymology of restaurant.
Yeah, search for the term.
Doesn't know.
I wonder if that's an accepted actual word now. Like, in, you know how
of course
they got to add words to the dictionary every year and decide.
Manscaping, lumbersexual, restaurant. I mean, I guarantee you this is a word now. A restaurant is something where people on motorcycles go to kill each other.
Right. There is, I don't see any real dictionary. There is a Wikipedia version, but I don't see it in the dictionary, a dictionary definition. A restaurant is a restaurant that is skimpily dressed waiting staff and often a sexual double entendre brand name.
Oh, shit.
The term restaurant dates from at least the early 90s, around the time that the restaurant chain Hooters became popular in the United States. Other restaurants offer similar, such as Tilted Kilt.
Yay!
Pub and Eatery, Twin Peaks, Bombshells, Bone Daddies.
Oh, my God.
Ojos Locos.
What's that mean?
Crazy Eyes.
Okay.
Bikini Sports Bar and Grill. Show Me's. Heart Attack Grill. I didn't know Heart Attack Grill had...
I've never heard of that establishment.
And my personal favorite, Mugs and Jugs. Not a lot of hiding what's going on there. Mugs and Jugs.
Hey, congratulations, America. We're doing good.
America, the restaurant, thriving.
Right.
While other restaurants are not doing well. Can you see Gordon Ramsay going in and fixing a... Well, actually, probably could.
Yeah, getting in some trouble.
Yeah, getting into some shenanigans at the restaurants. Sure.
I mean, if he was, let me tell you something. If the shit went down with the bikers at one of his restaurant, I guarantee you he'd be out there swinging a pot, hitting people with it. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. He would not. I don't think Gordon would.
Had to be my skillet.
Would run from the fight.
Oh, God, no. Or maybe. I don't know.
I've got. God, we didn't talk about this that much, but I really want to bring this up briefly to touch upon. This subject right here.
It's the 2016 Republican primary.
This is on Facebook.
Yes.
On our Facebook, go to facebook.com/crabdiving. The place for fun.
Oh, yes. And for liking.
And all your crabby political needs.
Share some shit.
This has got to be one of my favorite. Absolute ridiculous politician dickwad answers of all time. This is that lump from New Jersey.
Oh my God.
Who hasn't realized that he's never going to be president yet. Chris Christie.
I mean, to me, he should be happy with not ending up in jail.
Oh my God.
He shut down a bridge.
Well, and there's scandals. It seems like an hourly scandal that they're popping up with him now. He's being investigated on a whole shitload of stuff.
Yeah, he's just a target, that's all. He's misunderstood.
Oh, yeah. So he was being interviewed. And,
yes.
And recently in his home state of New Jersey, where he was inexplicably reelected as governor.
Right.
I think it's before he started hardcore running around trying to, you know, look like he's president. Remember his first big transgression was right after the hurricane.
Yeah.
Sandy, right?
Sandy? Yeah, it was the sand. Wasn't it the money? The funding? The relief fund for the hurricane?
Oh, no. Where the right started hating him.
Oh, he hugged Obama.
Was when he hugged the black guy.
Yeah, he dry.
Yeah.
It was a dry hump.
Absolutely.
Sure.
But
then later on, didn't he misappropriate?
Oh, well, that's what he's being investigated for now. Yeah. Okay. One of the things. He was on speaking with Jesus is White, goddammit, Megyn Kelly.
Oh, God.
And she, every once in a while, you know, I mean, even though she's a ninny too, she's not afraid of asking these guys even some decent questions. She doesn't poofball them that much. She asked him about this poll that came out that said that 65% of New Jersey voters, so the people that put him in the governorship
in his state,
of his state, 65% said he would not make a good president. And to which Megyn Kelly said, well, why shouldn't we trust them? And he said, they want me to stay. A lot of those people in that 65% want me to stay. So that, he's saying that that poll is saying, God, we don't want him to go and be president. We love him so much. We want him here.
That is a great answer.
Oh, how, that's a, oh my God.
I mean, that's the best answer he's going to come up with.
I've heard that from a lot of people at town hall meetings. Don't leave to run for president because we want you to stay.
Yeah, we want you to keep doing what you're doing.
And then Megyn Kelly says, but they say you wouldn't make a good president. It's not that they're saying they don't want you to be president. They're saying you would not make a good one. And man, he must have been prepped for this one too, because he said, I think people hear the question they want to hear.
Oh God, I love that answer.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
People hear the questions they want to hear.
I think people hear the question they want to hear.
Santa Claus is white.
The fact is that the polls in New Jersey will go up and down as well.
Sure. Meet me at the restaurant.
He said, my approval rating has bounced back and forth in the 5.5 years because I do things of consequence that people either agree with or disagree with, like stopping a bridge. Oh, he didn't add that part. I'm sorry.
Jeez.
The whole stopping the bridge part. So that's his answer there. That,
amazing.
The reason that 65% of his own state thinks he'd be a shitty president is because they want him to stay. They really want him to stay. They're lying. They heard the question they want to hear.
Oh, that's so funny.
The question they want to hear is, do you think he should go be president and leave New Jersey?
That's insane reasoning.
Delusional.
They're going to miss me when I'm gone.
Right. But, you know, a great answer, I guess.
I can't believe, I mean, so does that mean 35% think he would make a good president?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's amazing for him. I think he should be thrilled with that.
He should be happy with that one?
Yeah. Think about who he is. He's an asshole.
He is a giant tap dancing fuckwad.
And didn't Mitt Romney even say he was too fat to run for president?
Yeah. And
didn't Mitt Romney make jokes about
him? I think somebody made a comment
about.
But he got the lap band, right? He's
I don't know.
He's downright svelte these days. Remember he talked about working out? Didn't he, one of those, he was talking about, yeah, I was working out this morning when I got the call about the bridge. Wasn't that it?
That's it.
I was working out.
Prove it. Liar.
Yeah. We know you're lying now.
Gosh.
Did you hear about our little addition to the environment up in Santa Barbara, Ryan?
Oh, no, I didn't. What is this, a solar farm?
It's a pipeline just south of Santa Barbara ruptured, spilled over 20,000 gallons of crude oil.
Yay!
A significant portion of which ended up in the ocean, creating a four-mile-long slick along the coastline.
Damn. That is so unfortunate. How could this have ever happened? I don't understand.
They evacuated nearby beaches. One person on the scene said it smelled like burned rubber.
Oh, it smelled bad and everything.
Another person walking up the beach said it's devastating. They have already spotted birds covered in oil.
Oh.
They tried to herd some whales that were precariously close to it away.
Oh, my God.
The slick is moving southward towards the city of Santa Barbara. Residents want to know what the cause was. The Santa Barbara County District Attorney said the county is reviewing, quote, potentially relevant criminal and civil statutes.
Oh, shit. See, these all these fucking conservatives up there, they're going to have shit like this because they elect Republicans.
The owner of the pipeline, Houston-based Plains All-American Pipeline.
We fucked up. Sorry.
Released a statement saying the exact amount of oil released is unknown, and they're working to begin cleanup and remediation efforts. They shut down once it was reported. The pipeline built in 1991 carries 150,000 barrels of oil per day. They shut it down. A culvert was put up to prevent any more flowing into the ocean from that section. Ocean. I don't know why I said
a culvert.
What
is that, a culvert? It's like a...
They put up a wall, you know, a block in the water to keep the oil spill from going.
Okay.
Plains deeply regrets this release and has occurred and is making every effort to limit its environmental impact.
What do? They just... Someone prepares these dumbass statements for them to read. Meanwhile, a bunch of fish are covered in oil and birds.
Right.
Beach is all fucked up.
And again, it's probably, I mean, if they're looking into criminal stuff, it's probably negligence of some sort or...
Oversight. We don't have any fucking oversight of these things.
Oh, how dare you try to saddle the benevolent job givers with legislation, Ryan.
And all you right-wing nut jobs that live in fucking Santa Barbara and vote for Republicans. You know what I mean?
Right.
This is what happens. No oversight.
That's what's going on there.
That's just, I saw a picture of that too.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's huge.
And it's still going on. And I heard someone this morning, a local environmental expert up in Santa Barbara, who she's like, this is horrible. This isn't some little tiny, you know, nothing's going to happen. This is horrible, horrible, horrible event.
Yeah.
Let's keep drilling.
Right. When was that Valdez oil spill? When was that?
In Alaska?
That's years ago.
It was a while ago.
20 years
ago,
maybe 25.
There's still shit, right?
I mean, we just don't learn. That's the thing. We don't learn. I mean, I know we can't make these pipelines go away and people stop drilling, but can we do something? Can we put in some safeguards, some more oversight? Is there something we can do?
Well, yeah.
To make this better?
But the GOP snatch faces don't want to do it.
Why?
Because they don't like regulation, because they want to turn this into fucking Somalia or God, I read an article. I'll try to put it up on the blog or on Facebook, but it's about, I think it's Honduras, that Honduras is kind of another one of these libertarian hellholes. And they kind of went nuts. I don't want to talk out of my ass. I got to read the whole thing, but there was a part of it where...
No, go ahead. Talk out of your ass.
They created these corporate zones that basically, if you buy the land, if you're big, giant, international corporate fuckwad, and you buy the land and put up whatever your fuckwadery you want to put on the land, you are subject to none of their laws.
Like you're a kingdom or something?
Yeah, you're your own self-determined little area. And guess what's happening? It's turning into Mad Max land, and Honduras now is like the murder capital of the world.
God damn it. That's so crazy. Can we have a crab diving fucking nation?
I
want to
read about that. Yeah. I got to finish
that
reading that article.
That is crazy.
Stuff. But when I heard about, wait a minute, they're actually turning over. It's like we said, here, you bought Kansas. Exxon.
Blah.
It's
gross.
Go nuts.
Can we return it?
So the epitome of the failure of this predatory capitalist system that people are just inexplicably hypnotized into fucking loving.
You need the government to do certain things, like make sure people have all their shit together with their pipeline and protect us from crazy dudes with guns.
Well, the invisible hand of the market, Ryan. No, we don't want to play whack-a-mole with giant oil spills that happen. So what? Oh, we're going to... How is the invisible hand of the market going to help this? What, we're not going to shop at Pipeline Fuckwads R Us in Texas anymore?
You have no idea.
How is the market going to fix this?
How is the market going to clean the oil off of Sea Otter?
Yeah, how does the market keep predatory employers from treating their employees like slave labor?
Okay, I have an answer for you. God works in mysterious ways.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. And there you go. You talked a little bit about Alaska. We've got a story from up in your brother Jeff's part of the world.
What?
This is a Republican snot clot from the Wasilla area, I believe.
Yeah.
Yep. From Wasilla, Alaska.
Wasilla is a shithole. I mean, it is really. No offense.
A move by State Senator Mike Dunleavy, Republican from Wasilla. He is apparently trying to shit all over this House Bill 44, which was actually sponsored by a different Republican.
Yes.
From Anchorage. That would have required school districts to give students information about sexual abuse and dating violence.
Oh, okay.
With an emphasis on prevention and awareness.
All right.
I got no problems there.
That doesn't sound strange to me.
The measure passed the House in April in Alaska, 34-6.
Okay.
It also contains portions identical to a bill known as Aaron's Law, which I'm not sure what Aaron's Law, which is a bill that a Democrat has been pushing to help counter child sexual abuse.
Okay.
It requires public schools to teach students how to resist and report sexual abuse.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
What's
also
the problem?
So Dunleavy, Senator Mike Dunleavy, dickhole from Wasilla.
You probably have to be more specific when you say something like that. There's plenty of those there.
Also, sadly, chairs the Senate Education Committee.
Ah,
well, he has proposed a substitute, taking out the sexual abuse and violence education parts.
Why?
Making it optional.
Oh, God.
He also has added on parts from other bills that they're not even supposed to be getting to until later. One would, quote, bar abortion services providers like Planned Parenthood from teaching students about sexuality or sexually transmitted diseases. So even if the expert on STDs has nothing to do with abortion.
Right.
Even if the expert you're having talk to these kids about sexual abuse, about sex education, is somebody from Planned Parenthood, you can't have them do that because they're that evil baby-killing, vagina-hoovering organization.
That's only one thing they do at Planned Parenthood. They do other
it's
shit
a
there.
A small part of what they do.
God.
And it doesn't matter. That's by the way, that's a constitutionally protected right to abort, by the way.
Yeah. You need any kind of sex education you can get for people up in Alaska is, I guarantee you, it's needed. It's so cold up there. A lot of people are poor. They don't have anything to do up there but to have sex.
Right.
Take that away from man. It's like night all day.
He also wants this Dunleavy dick wants to eliminate the requirement for all high school students to take an SAT.
Yes.
This is shit he's adding to this one bill.
Right.
And he wants schools he doesn't want any students to be given a questionnaire or survey without permission from the parents. another piece would require any school district to first get parents' permission before their children can participate in any class involving human reproduction.
Well, so
or sexual matter.
What if it's what if this kid child's in this horrible situation? Maybe he is getting abused by his parents. So if he wants to take that class or something, he's got to get a letter. He's got to get his
Hey, Dad, can I take this class where they're going to teach me how to rat on you for beating the shit out of me?
Yeah, they're going to say no. Maybe not.
I think he's more worried about the Jesus thing. This is all the Jesus stuff, you know.
This is all stupid. This is the Jesus stuff at the expense of your kid's safety.
And,
it's a shame.
And he's being an ass about it. You know, they could pass this other bill easily But him wanting to put all these changes turns it into a, quote, highly controversial bill that might kill the whole bill.
It's unreal.
An opponent, the senator that sponsored the bill, Representative Charisse Millett from Anchorage.
Yes.
I think it's her that said that to just insert this into a bill when it hasn't had a single hearing in the House, I think is an abuse of the process. This is another one of those things where they're reaching the end.
Yeah.
And he slipped it in.
Oh, God.
With no debate. This is what the Republicans have been doing all over the country and in these legislatures. We keep reading about that. They meet in the middle of the night when they have a quorum. They don't tell the Democrats
they're
meeting.
And then they're like, we want to pass this bill. We want to get this going. Why are you holding it up? You just stuck this shit in there. You just did it.
Right. And they slipped these poison pills in at the last second.
How do we fix the system? Well, we need more breast reminds. Well, that's the problem.
Line item vetoes is one way to do
sure.
it. Because then they can't. There's no reason to tack on bullshit onto, you know,
meaning you can say no to that without saying no to the whole thing.
Right. Right. You can cross out parts of it, but
we'll call somebody and tell them they should do that.
Well, we don't have that. The president can't do that, but there are some states that do where the governor does have line item veto. So it's not unconstitutional. It's not out of the realm of possibility, but some people think it's too much power for the president to have.
It depends on who's president. If it's me, you want me to have that.
And some people are saying that, you know, without these appropriations and without this pork, that nothing gets done. That there's no reason for some guy in South Carolina to compromise on a bridge in Washington State.
But
unless you attach his bullshit to the bill. Because God forbid somebody looks at something and says, I think this would be nice for my fellow man in Washington. No, they got to be like, well, what's in it for me?
What? Okay, well, what if you're on a bridge and all of a sudden, God forbid, I'm an atheist, but it starts crumbling. And you fall into the water in your car.
Yes.
And you fucking drown.
Yes.
Well, isn't that something you can think of
while you're drowning?
Oh, no. I mean, can you maybe imagine how horrible that would be when you're doing something like holding up a bridge bill for your stupid special interest? I mean, you know, we don't even want to repair our bridges because of bullshit.
Yeah, they can't.
The system is fucked.
They don't think of those consequences. They see power and money.
The system is fucked. And if you want to hear how fucked the fucking system is, tune in to Democracy How at 4 p.m. on the Crab Diving Network.
Right here, immediately following. It'll be we're going back a little bit to the first episode of Democracy How, actually.
To the roots, where it started.
Viva la revolution.
At the end of the day, you're another day older.
More bullshittery on our Facebook. If you look there,
yes.
This is a story that was written by a dude who it says a cleared liaison to two statutory advisory committees.
Whoa.
He was a commissioner to the U.S. Trade Deficit Review Commission.
I'm a cleared liaison.
He worked as the international trade co-chair for the Kerry Edwards.
Ooh, what's his business card look
that
like?
That didn't go great.
What the fuck kind of title is that?
Well, that's his bio at the end of what he wrote here.
I am a cleared liaison.
Michael Wessel is his name.
Fuck you.
He has laid eyes upon the Trans-Pacific Partnership deal.
Oh, does he like it?
The headline says, I've read Obama's secret trade deal.
Yes.
Elizabeth Warren is right to be concerned.
Oh, my God.
Elizabeth Warren read it, too.
She didn't like it. That should be good enough for everybody. Now, whoever this guy is read it, he hates it. Now what?
Right. He says, I've read the text provided to the government's own advisors. I've given the president an earful.
Ooh.
About how this trade deal will damage this nation. But I can't share my criticisms with you.
Why?
It's classified.
It's illegal.
Right. I can tell you that Elizabeth Warren is right about her criticism of the trade deal. We should be very concerned about what's hidden in this trade deal.
Hello, Barack Obama. What the fuck?
And particularly how the Obama administration is keeping information secret even from those of us who are supposed to provide advice. This guy is one of the advisors, and they're keeping it secret even from them. There's some shenanigans going on.
There is, man.
This is some bullshit. Obama's off the rails on this one. He's out of his mind.
What's going on? Does someone have something on him? Do they have a picture of him?
Yeah, balls deep in a choir boy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, this guy for
this 21, is ridiculous.
Yeah, he worked for. Anyway, this goes on. Read this. We'll put it up. It's in Politico. He says, a frustrated President Obama recently complained about criticisms of the TPP by saying, you need to tell me what's wrong with this trade agreement, not one that was passed 25 years ago. He's right. The public criticisms of the TPP are vague. That's by design, because anyone who has read the text could be jailed for disclosing its contents. So when Obama's out there saying, give me specifics about what's wrong with this, nobody can.
And
because
if you
they
do,
will get thrown in jail if they give specifics.
Oh,
this is some
are.
Bullshit.
It really is.
Mr. POTUS.
POTUS.
This is shenanigans. What's going on here?
It's no time to be in jail either. What, you're going to share a bunk with one of those fucking motorcycle assholes? Right. What was the name of their gang anyway? What is their gang or who is it?
God, they've published some of the names. I forget what they are already, but the sheriff there in Waco won't mention the name. He was on MSNBC today giving an interview. And again, the guys on NBC mentioned a couple of the biker gang names. And he was like, well, we won't mention their name here. You won't hear their names mentioned from us or any member of the Waco Sheriff's Department. they don't give them the time of day.
Right. Hey, did you?
And he's still pissed off at Twin Peaks, by the way.
Oh yeah, of course, dude.
For not heeding their warnings about
what are you supposed to do? This biker gang takes over your restaurant. I'm sorry, guys, we can't serve you.
And one of these guys
fuck you up.
One of these former bikers that they interviewed on one of the Talking Head shows said that, you know, it's a territory thing that actually they might not have been able to do that much about it because. He said, sometimes they'll show up at a place, they decide they like it, and that's it. It's a territory thing. It's their place now. They just go there and just deal.
And what are they? Well, it's your restaurant. You can refuse people service, can't you?
Well, but not unless they do something. I mean, if there's shenanigans, yeah, you can throw people out and shit, but I mean, you can't just say.
Who's going to do that?
Right. You can't say you've got a leather vest on, you can't come in any more than you could say you've got a pink leather vest on, you can't come in.
Right. That's crazy.
So, let's see what else.
I was at a bar last night talking to this dude about, I forget why, but anyway, okay. Do you remember the guy, you know, the guy who's in Sons of Anarchy, the lead, the son,
yes.
Blonde hair dude,
right.
Whatever his
he's
fucking
British.
Hello. Oh, that's God. It's hilarious that he's British.
Right.
Anyway, you know, he has a fashion line.
Come on.
No, he does. He has a fashion line where he takes sports logos and he weaves like a satanic symbol in them. Because this guy I'm talking to at the bar, I'm like, is that a Yankees? It's like, is that a Yankees t-shirt? He's like, yeah, but it's got a devil symbol. It's got an anarchy symbol in it. Well, I forget this guy. Damn it. I can almost remember the name of the fashion line because he told me. But you can get a Cubs one with the satanic symbol in it. Isn't that awesome?
The, they've interviewed Kurt Suter
about this.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. All these fucking guys are going to get interviewed about this. I'm an actor, dude.
He said, I'm not an outlaw biker. I just wrote about one.
Right.
That's what he said.
God, people are dumb.
Guys, I'm not an outlaw biker, by the way.
Jesus, hey, idiots out there. When you see people on TV in the movies, it's they're acting. Gary Sinise has legs. Okay.
Charlie Hunnam?
Yeah, that's his name. He's got a fashion line. He's got buy his t-shirts. He'll turn to make your Cubs t-shirt look satanic.
It says he's got, it says he was doing something for Calvin Klein. I can't find out exactly what he was.
Yeah, but he takes MLB logos or any kind of sports logo and he puts a satanic spin on it.
There you go. Charlie Hunnam. Yeah.
He's got. Listen, there's a lot of downtime on the set. What's he gonna do? Memorize his stupid lines all day? No, I'm designing clothes. You think Rob Perlman helped him with any of those? Ron Perlman.
With the symbols in between takes?
Sure. I bet he did.
Quite possibly. I've got... What have I got? They're investigating Scott Walker again. That's good. In Wisconsin, something about $500,000 and some loan to the campaign. So there's some...
He fucked up.
Some shenanigans going on. They found a couple of Hitler's statues.
Where?
This?
No.
This is what's weird. Now, you know, you talk about the Sons of Anarchy, you know, and this whole biker situation being like a fucking movie. This is too. This is in Germany.
Yeah.
They recovered two life-size brown sculptures of horses that are worth millions of dollars. They once stood outside Hitler's chancellery.
Oh, my chancellery.
But when the year the Berlin Wall fell, they disappeared.
How the
So that's not
fuck?
Even... This is Berlin Wall. This is 80s, right?
Yeah.
How do giant life-size brown statues of horses just kind of disappear?
Well, you put them in a horse trailer. That's what you do with a horse.
Police finally found them. They tracked them down in a warehouse. They staged 10 raids in 5 states, targeting 8 different suspected members of a ring of illegal art dealers.
Oh, my God.
They've got this warehouse.
Shit.
They also found granite reliefs by sculptors Josef Thorak and Arno Brecker.
9!
Hitler, they said, commissioned thousands of mostly bronze and marble artworks as he sought to transform Berlin into the world capital of Germania.
Oh, what a lunatic. I want to make some horse statues. Who the fuck needs that? Who needs a horse statue? What do you do with it? What do you get out of it?
The art dealers had, in recent years, asked for up to 4 million euros on the black market for the horses. I don't know. Do you put it on the internet?
I was about to say,
dark internet, maybe.
If you buy them, what the fuck do you do with them?
Yeah,
put them in your backyard.
Yeah,
people come over. Look, these, but then they're illegal. They're stolen.
The sculptures were evacuated to a town east of Germany when the bombs started falling on Berlin.
Oh, they got the horses out of there, but there were some people left there too.
Save the sculptures. The horses resurfaced around 1950 on the sports grounds of a Red Army barracks in the nearby town of Eberswald, in what was then the commie side of Germany.
Okay,
in the GDR.
Right.
They stood there for 38 years. It said that through that time they were painted over in gold, damaged by bullets, had their tails broken and inexpertly reaffixed. Sometimes children were playing on them. Then an art historian discovered them, wrote about it in a newspaper, and within weeks they were gone. Somebody just took them.
Oh, shit.
They think they were sold off by the regime there once they figured out what they were. So the people running the German Democratic Republic of Commie Pinkoland before the wall fell.
They decided to make some money.
Oh, yeah. Well, Hitler's horses. You want to buy them?
And where did they end up?
They vanished for a quarter of a century now in the 80s. In the late 80s, they disappeared. Or 89, they disappeared. They just now showed up Wednesday at a warehouse in Bad Dürkheim in the western state of Rhineland.
They weren't, you know, out in somebody's backyard next to the pool in Argentina anywhere.
No, they're now likely to become the property of the German state, but possibly the descendants of the sculptor, Thorak. Thorak the sculptor could launch a legal claim. But,
Jesus. Well,
how about that? Crazy story.
Well, the descendants of Thorak, all of a sudden, what? Now they have these horses. What do they do with
them? Sell them.
In the back fucking yard.
Right. Yeah. Sell them. You don't need to sell them on the black market
anymore.
Put
them next to the pool.
But how crazy that there's warehouses of international art. I mean, of art.
That's insane.
From international art thieves out there. It's like a fucking movie.
It is a total movie.
Total crazy.
Interesting.
That's the Hitler found art story.
Yeah. Congratulations.
I just thought that was
to whoever cashes in on that.
That was interesting.
Right.
Senator Ron Wyden, by the way, has joined Senator Rand Paul to fake filibuster the Patriot Act.
Oh, really? I heard they're going to do it from a bathtub.
We're just letting you know. I got to get a drop of some sort for this.
For what?
About something to do with stuffing tampons in your ears.
Yes.
Because they're about to bleed, because it's a clip from Outnumbered, ladies and gentlemen.
We need Keith Ablo.
The Fox Fuck Fest. Outnumbered, where four persons possessing inside fun parts sit flanking an obvious person who has the real brains on the show, the person with the outside parts, because they always go to the male first.
Yes.
To answer all the questions.
Right.
On Outnumbered. And they all look great. Short skirts. Tantaros.
That's your favorite.
So this is about, you know what? I wasn't going to play this, but I'm going to play the whole thing now. This is, Tantaros. We'll let them explain the story.
Okay.
This is what they're talking about on Outnumbered. So I'm going to let the ninny describe the story, and then you'll hear it. It's a story about the Boy Scouts of America.
Go ahead, ninny.
From Fox.
An age-old rite of passage in the dog days of summer will no longer be for many Boy Scouts. The national organization announcing a ban on water gun fights and a limit on the size of water balloons at their summer camps. The Scouts saying the...
Okay, so you got it?
Okay.
No more water gun fights, no more water balloon fights.
It sounds like somebody like me got in charge of something.
Yeah, absolutely.
At their summer camps. The Scouts saying the idea of pointing even a play gun at someone is not, quote, kind. The change not sitting well with many commenters on the Scouting Magazine blog. One writing.
They're reading. This is now us reading.
I know where this is going.
Us reading commenters.
You're a pussy because you can't. Fuck this.
Us reading commenters from some blog is what we do. We're not Fox, quote, news. And here the first thing she says. This has some commenters on the blog angry.
Right. We're entertainment.
So again, she's elevating.
Elevate me.
A fringe opinion. Some asshole on the blog. To this is an equal opinion. They're upset.
I got to tell you.
Because they're ripping the penises off of our little boys.
If we're getting to where a Keith Ablo type tells me that everyone's turning into pussies.
Listen up.
Because, you know, they can't.
The Scouting Magazine blog, one writing, quote, what a load of politically correct bleep. Mike.
Yeah.
Penis.
Hey.
Possessor of testicles. Please enlighten us.
Summon the dick.
This is Mike Baker, former CIA analyst.
No, it's actually just a penis talking,
Fox
right?
Fox News contributor. But listen to her question. Right when she goes, Mike, listen to how she frames the question.
Commenters on the Scouting Magazine blog, one writing, quote, what a load of politically correct bleep. Mike.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah. If we keep emasculating our boys and...
There's the question. Right over there. Right there. We're emasculating our boys.
If we keep emasculating our boys...
If God. We keep emasculating our boys...
God damn it. This is so,
not letting
fucking
them,
frustrating.
Not letting them... play war and shoot guns at each other.
We are,
and shoot bombs at each, you know, is
we are in the stranglehold of the fucking gun culture.
Yeah.
We were like
and woven up with masculinity.
Oh yeah, I want a gun. Pow 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 right. Pow.
And then they say, oh, when you you guys always go for dick size. Remember that guy we had a fight with when one time we made a joke about having a tiny dick and he's like, I'll come out there and measure my dick against yours. Where do you live? I'll come out. My dick's bigger. Where do you live?
You're making our point.
You fucking moron.
Mike.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So if we keep emasculating our boys and not letting boys be boys, you have three of them yourself. Mm. How are we going to raise the next generation of hardcore CIA operatives, Navy SEALs?
You know,
there's other positions in America right. That are available.
No.
Than CIA operatives and Navy SEALs.
Hardcore. Hardcore.
Right.
We all hardcore CIA operatives and Navy SEALs. That's all that we're going to need in the future.
Right.
Which one do you want to be?
It's all going to be mincing ninny faggy. I mean, that's it. That's all that's going to be left.
Or CIA operatives, Navy SEALs.
You know, first of all, that was a very nice unloaded question.
You obviously know how I feel about this.
And I want the same sheet of music. Look, yeah, my three boys, Scooter, Sluggo, and Muggsy, all under 8 years old. And the one, he's turning eight. Scooter's turning eight on this weekend. Mm-hmm. And the thing that we're doing is we're having all his friends over. We're dividing them into two teams. We're giving them massive buckets of water balloons. And we're going to say,
aim for the black ones.
Yeah.
We're going to let them loose. That's what you do. That's what
that's what men do.
Yes.
What?
We run around throwing water balloons at each other.
I mean, I agree. Water balloon fights are kind of fun.
Yeah, they're fun. They're just saying in the Boy Scouts, you can't have water pistols and point them at each other.
Well,
right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
What's the big deal?
I know this is going to sound, people are going to say, that sounds sexist. That's what boys do, right? And you also pick up a stick. And I know this is, well, you don't want to give them a weapon or a play weapon. I could take away all the Nerf guns and all the play weapons that they have right now. They'll go out in the backyard, find a stick, and it's a gun.
Oh, great.
Wonderful.
Why is that?
Does that seem like a problem to anyone else but me over here?
That's not boy nature. You're telling me that 1,000 years ago, before these guns existed, somehow prescient little boys were running out and creating guns out of sticks before they were invented.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's...
No, they were beating each other with swords.
And so I'm sorry if that upsets some people. I'm not stopping that. And the fact that the Boy Scouts are bowing to this and saying, well... They'll go out in the backyard, find a stick, and it's saying, well, we don't...
I was trying to get to the... They cut to a four shot of all the ninnies.
Oh, really?
And it's just leg. Legs. on Fox. There it is.
They're all models. So
yeah, I wonder if they have a diet like.
No, they work at the.
They provide at Twin Peaks.
Yeah, they work at Twin Peaks.
They do it. Well, there's
Fox Branch.
It's Quad Peaks. Yeah. Outnumbered.
Oh yeah.
Well, I think that's about all the.
Oh my god.
That's about all the outnumbered we can handle for one day.
Oh good.
That's maybe all the crabs that everybody can handle for one
day.
Did you
hear her laugh? Oh, yeah.
Thanks everybody for listening to us. Mincing ninnies here on crab diving.
Come on!
Don't forget crabdiving.com for all your crab diving needs. Streaming 24/7 crabdiving.com/live.
Cha-ching!
And crabdiving.com, Stitcher, and iTunes for all the podcasts of this show and all the great stuff that's on the network.
Please!
Go to crabdiving.com and follow all over there. Some blue buttons. Tickle them, touch them, lick them, whatever the fuck you want to do to them. However you get to our social media sites.
Make it happen.
Spread the crabs, love the crabs, share the crabs. Don't forget, Ryan Pfeiffer, my co-host here, will be doing some comedy somewhere soon. Very funny, Mr. Ryan Pfeiffer. Find out where, when. Follow his Twitter stream, at RatedRComedy. And go to his website, RatedRComedy.com.
Follow the very funny Patrick Vile on Twitter, at Vile Experience, oh so vile.
And everything and anything, ladies and gentlemen, crabdiving.com. Back tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Crab Diving. Catch the crabs on Facebook, facebook.com/crabdiving, and on Twitter and Instagram, @crabdiving.